Justification, the means of grace, the theology of the cross, Christology, vocation, living in two kingdoms, and worship. Dr. Gene Edward Veith covers each of these teachings in the new third edition of his book, The Spirituality of the Cross. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. The Spirituality of the Cross, third edition. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May. We have been going through the things that belong to the wise as we've been talking about Proverbs 24 with Pastor Jonathan Fisk here on Issues Etc. A lot of those things that belong to the wise, well, they point us directly toward Jesus Christ. There's another section in here in this Proverbs 24 that points us to, well, a couple things. Jesus told several parables about vineyards, and he is building on a very ancient parable from the prophet Isaiah on a vineyard that God himself had planted. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to continue our conversation on Proverbs 24. Pastor Jonathan Fisk joins us. He's pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Rockford, Illinois, creator of the Mad Christian YouTube channel and podcast, and lead writer of the Mad Christian Mondays. He's author of several books, including his latest, Without Flesh. We were unable to finish his teaching on Proverbs 24 last week, so let's pick up where we left off. I asked Pastor Fisk about that verse, well, verse 30 and following, and as it hearkens to the parable of the vineyard.
Yeah, they are. You know, I hadn't really thought about that as much with the Isaiah connection. So that's really cool. The fields of sloth. This is where this character of the Atzael, the slothful man, the sluggard, again, the King James calls it. I don't know if we got a great English word that would really, you know, say who this person is. But he will be the closing fool. And I have not done this enough. I know that this is out there for research, and I'm beginning my own journey on it. There are these categories of fool in Proverbs, and I wish I had it all so perfectly lined out. I could just list them all for you now, but I'm still on that journey. But I know that this Atzael is a major one of them. And part of the reason is because he gets mentioned so many times, 30 plus times in Proverbs. And he gets brought up very, very early. The first time we run into this Atzael is in Proverbs 6, verse 6, which is after another negative person that we meet in Proverbs 6, verse 1, who I want to introduce briefly. And that person's called the stranger, the stranger. And the stranger is not just someone you don't know, although there's that too. But the stranger in the Israelite context is someone who's outside the covenant. Somebody who's not really even supposed to be with you. Someone who, at the end of the day, isn't on the same team. So, for example, when the kings of Judah make some great mistakes by going down to Egypt for help, or going up to Assyria for help, rather than going to the Lord, they were going to the stranger. They were shaking hands in pledge with the stranger. They were going outside of their inner covenant to get help. Now, the person who is this Atzael is the one who just does that as his deepest person. Okay, so forget the Israelite covenant for a moment and just think about your inside-outside work, your life where you have, as a person, a duty, an honor, a name, a stand. The person who is the sluggard doesn't want to take responsibility for that. They always are going outside for help. This isn't help as in the sense of please help me. This is in, they're always looking for a rescuer. They're always looking for an excuse. They're always pushing it off onto somebody else. And that's the Atzael who is then spoken of in Proverbs 6 verse 6 angrily, where he says, go to the ant, you sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. And that's after you've already attempted to go to the stranger for your help. He says, don't do that. Go to the ant and learn from the ant. So from there, the learning of what the ant can give you as opposed to being the sluggard continues quite a bit throughout the book. But the verse that I think maybe helps do it quickly today is chapter 13, verse 4, which says this: the soul of a lazy man, this is the sluggard, the Atzael, desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. So just from the text itself that he desires and has nothing, you can see everything is about wishfulness. Everything is about somewhere else. Everything is about something that is not real. The reason I want to look here is to put this idea of laziness or sloth against another idea. And that's that word diligence, right? So we have like a parallel going on. On the one hand, you have the lazy man. On the other hand, you have the diligent man. On the one hand, you have the etzel, right? That's the lazy man, the man of no self-reliance, the man who looks to the outsider. On the other hand, you have the harutz, the harutz. And it's a really cool word. It means one who cuts things, you know, like with an axe, you would cut it. But eventually it came to also refer to just a decisive person. He cuts off debate because he just goes and he acts instead, right? And so here, that's the opposite of sloth. Right, the opposite of sloth is to cut off debate and act. And that's being lofted up as a valuable thing here, right? That the soul of the one who ends debate and acts shall be made rich. Now, that doesn't mean that every time you just ignore everybody else and do your own thing, that that's going to turn out well for you. But if we can pull that back now to this parable of the slothful field in verses 30 and following, I think we can see how it really will help us see the thing that the at sale, the thing that the victimized man will not do is act for himself, and that the problem isn't necessarily any one thing he won't do, but it is the culmination of his ultimate unbelief that's his undoing. So verse 30 says, back in chapter 24, verse 30 says, I went by the field of the lazy man, right? That's where you're supposed to be out doing your work so you can build your house later. I went by the field of the at sale, and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. Literally, that says without heart, the man without a heart. The lazy man, the Azael, is a man without a heart. And there it was, his field, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. When I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it and received instruction. That's musar. That's the discipline word that we've been about so often here. And then here's the instruction, the discipline, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. So shall your poverty come like a prowler and your need like an armed man. And there it is. That's the end of the whole section. Now, Todd, you know, I am a Protestant and I have inherited a Protestant work ethic. And I have never been able to come to these proverbs about the lazy man and not berate myself with them for not having somehow managed to stop being lazy. But I think if anyone's out there listening and, you know, you kind of had that spirit haunt you there as I was reading through this, a little sleep, a little slumber, like, oh, that's me. Oh, I got so much I got to do. Let me encourage you to just believe right now. No, that's not you at all. Like, to be this guy right now, like if you have an income at all where you go to work and like get paid, like you're not this guy, right? This is something else. At least you're not this guy ultimately. You might be this guy on the weekend when you want to escape from everything, right? You might be this guy, you know, when you dive into TV or whatever other kind of thing you do to pretend the world isn't the way it is. But by and large, the Azael that's being deconstructed here is the one who will not face his life. He will not do his life. He's always hiding from his life. And so his life, it's not that like left and right, there are bad things happening. It's instead more of a slow apocalypse. It's more that over time, by neglect, not only does the wall start to fall down and the lawn isn't mowed and the inside, the paint isn't done, but what really happens for the spiritual Azael is that his relationships stop existing. He ceases to have compassion on anyone, even those who are nearest and dearest to him. And he retreats further and further into his own blaming of everyone else for what ultimately is his own lack of heart. And that's not a real happy gospel place to leave the text, but it is the warning. You know, it is the warning that if you do not heed the fact that judging according to the appearance, judging according to the face is erroneous, and that seeking good mishpat according to the prophets and apostles is necessary, then it's unavoidable that your wall is going to fall down. Because you've rejected the thing that would give you the heart, which is the right judgment of God. And that's where I did not even think about, Todd. I'll give it all to you, all the credit to you here. The Isaiah Vineyard song and the connection point here. I'm happy to say something about it, but do you want to go ahead and tie that string together first since you made the connection?
No. I just had noticed it sounds a lot like the parable of the vineyard. Of course, it's from God's perspective.
Right. So that's Isaiah comes along in chapter 5, is it? Or 6? And he sings this song of the vineyard that it sounds exactly like what's being described here. But then he turns it, right? And he says, this is you, Israel. Look, I built the wall. I set it up so that you could believe. And you tore it down. You've done all this stuff. You're the reason the weeds are here. Now looking at this, I can't imagine how Isaiah isn't reading Solomon and then applying what everyone should know from what Solomon left behind for everyone to learn, now applying that to everyone in real time and preaching this very text, as it were. Luther says, I think it's in Smalcald, where he claims that there is nothing we should receive except for that which comes from the scriptures, because all others are claims of like new revelation and are from the devil. He says that even the prophets, even Moses, was only first preaching and believing what he had received from the word, that is the scriptures he had received before, some of that oral. It's a pretty bold statement, Luther says there. I mean, really, and he can be hyperbolic in the way he expresses it. So I don't know that the point is a dogmatic one, but it is definitely worth remembering, is kind of why we're studying this, that Isaiah and Amos and Jesus, they had this book. They had these words. And that if you really want to dig into the meat of Jesus Christ, as the author of the Hebrews encourages you to do, he's not encouraging you to go do more actions. He's not encouraging you to go be more pious. He's encouraging you to open the Old Testament and find that in the Old Testament, you have everything that Christ has fulfilled, foretold. And that by putting the two together, walking where you are in the present, you'll find the way you should go today. As the text that we just did, St. Philip and St. James this past Sunday, and there's this marvelous text from Isaiah 30, you will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, right? This is what your private devotion of the scriptures really does for you in the context of a faithful Word and Sacrament Church, of course, you know, wherein we are all being gathered under one shepherd, one faithful shepherd.
Pastor Jonathan Fisk is pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Rockford, Illinois. He's creator of the Mad Christian YouTube channel and podcasts and lead writer for the Mad Christian Mondays. He's author of several books, including his latest, Without Flesh. Jonathan, thanks.
It is my pleasure.
We will be talking about the ascension of Christ with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller next. Justification, the means of grace, the theology of the cross, Christology, vocation, living in two kingdoms, and worship. Dr. Gene Edward Veith covers each of these teachings in the new third edition of his book, The Spirituality of the Cross. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. The Spirituality of the Cross, third edition. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May.
Can you ever hear too much good news? Especially in challenging times, we need to hear how God is working through His church to bring truth, goodness, and beauty to the world. Hi, this is Rahema Kavuga of Lutheran Church Extension Fund. Take a break from cable news and find refreshment at interesttime.org, where you can read all about what's happening in places like St. Mark Lutheran Church and School in Kaneohe, Hawaii. Sign up for a free subscription and share with anyone that needs a good boost. Again, that's interesttime.org.
Sanctifying your yard work with the Word of God. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas is now enrolling for the coming school year. What makes us unique? A confessional Lutheran school offering a classical education for preschool through 12th grades. Faith Lutheran School features rigorous classes that incorporate a focus on wisdom, truth, virtue, and the historic Christian faith. Live online classes are also available for high school students worldwide. To learn more about Faith Lutheran School or to submit an application, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
Do you know any military veterans in your church or community? Do you have a passion to support and reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Then Operation Barnabas is for you. Called by Christ's love, Operation Barnabas engages, empowers, and equips LCMS faith communities to provide hope, healing, and support to military-connected persons living in their community. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces.